Hey y'all, so before we jump into this week's episode, I have to remind you that applications for the Purpose to Service Academy open up on October 12th. So if you're wondering, like, what is the Purpose to Service Academy? Well, it is my 12-month group coaching program where I teach coaches and online service providers how to create a solid foundation and simplify their business through creating and launching their signature service offer. So throughout this entire 12-month program, we walk you through our six-step framework, which covers everything from building your foundation to nurturing your audience to packaging up your genius into your service offer to creating your launch strategy, managing your clients, and also creating your ongoing marketing strategy. So literally everything that you need to build a sustainable, intentional, and also profitable coaching business online. So again, applications for the Purpose of Service Academy open up on October 12th, and right now you can get on the wait list. So for everyone who's on the wait list, you are going to get some super exclusive gems and also first access to applications. So to get on the wait list, all you have to do is head over to AliciaRobertson.com/waitlist and just sign up. And don't worry, I will leave the link to that in this week's show notes. Welcome to the Purpose to Service podcast, a weekly show for women entrepreneurs who are ready to package up their knowledge and build a thriving service-based business that fuels the life they desire. I'm your host, Alicia Robertson, and through this show, I share real-life advice, my proven strategies for building your personal brand and gaining more clients, and I chat with other incredible women who are not only crushing it in their industry, but also building their business with intention. Whether you're just getting started or a seasoned professional, every week we dig deep into how you can leverage what you know and make a bigger impact through your content, make more money, and build your coaching or service-based business on purpose. Let's dig in. Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Purpose to Service podcast. So today I am talking with Brianka Johnson. So Brianka is a launch and marketing strategist who helps coaches and service providers leverage proven launch and marketing strategies to position their expertise and grow their business. Brianka has been helping entrepreneurs, nonprofits, small businesses, and political campaigns improve and implement digital marketing campaigns since 2014 when she opened her business as a side hustle. In July 2020, Brianka quit her job as a digital director for a national nonprofit to go full-time in her business. And in the first 6 months, Brianka generated six figures and has helped her top six clients generate over $260,000. Yes, receipts. So Bri's mission is to help 1 million entrepreneurs in her lifetime to leverage their expertise to launch an offer they love and also that sells. When she is not working, you can find Brianka reading a book, dancing, or enjoying an Irish mule. She resides in Smyrna, Georgia, and is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Inc. Brianka, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited for today's conversation.
Yeah, I love some receipts. So when I read your bio, I was like, yes, yes, ma'am.
Listen, you know, you got to keep them receipts on deck. Okay.
Yes. Just in case somebody try you.
Listen, I am not new to this. I am true to this. Period.
So I wanted to have you on the show because I've been following you for a while, and launching is one of those things, especially for coaches and service providers. Launching is one of those things that like gives people hives. Yes. Like it makes them very uneasy. And it's often where a lot of people kind of like hesitate when it comes to like putting themselves out there. So I wanted to talk to you today all about launching, get some like tips from you of how we can make launching feel less stressful.
Right.
But before anyone even thinks about launching their offer, what do you suggest they have in place first?
Yeah, so I mean, before you can launch, you need an audience. A lot of times, like one of the reasons that we find launching to be so contentious or like stressful is because it feels like we're trying to like force our offer down someone's throat. Like we're trying to like make them understand the value. And the reason that we feel like we have to do that is because we haven't taken the time or put in the energy to build a relationship or a rapport with our audience. Like they don't trust us, so they don't buy into us. And instead of us building trust, we try and force them, we try and control them into our offer or into our business. And that's honestly what the hard part is. Like, I feel like we aren't like, we don't know how to communicate that that's what it is. But truthfully, that's what, like, you would not hate launching if every time you did it, it felt like you were just kikiing with your friends or like you were just catching up with your homies. Like, you would not be like, dang, I hate launching. You hate launching because of the exertion of energy because you haven't done the work in the beginning.
Yeah. That's one of the things I tell my clients. I'm like, you're probably just launching way too soon. Like, I feel like we get excited and we get hyped up because we have this shiny new thing that we want to give to everybody. But it's like, wait, like.
We need to make money, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, okay, cool. This is cool. But like, I need to make money. And it's like, understood, hear you, validate that that is a real concern. And also you got to do the work.
Yeah.
So like, if you want to make the money, like you have to build the relationships. Like you can't be like, I need to make money. I need to launch. And also I don't have time to post on social media, or I don't have time to send emails, or I don't have time to be in my DMs. Well, baby, you ain't got time to launch either.
Facts. And my thing with that too, is I almost worry that if you don't have the time to really like nurture your audience and like put into implementing the different pieces of a successful launch, then you're probably not ready to serve your clients in the way that you think you are.
No. Yeah. And because also like launching is not for you, it's for your audience. Mm-hmm. Like launching is an act of service, right? I mean, think about it. Like you're showing up multiple times, you're delivering all of this value, you're delivering all of this content, and you have to be doing it from a well place in order for it to translate and to attract the people that you want it to attract and in order for it to connect to them. So a lot of times, even before I go into a launch, there are certain things that I put into place in my household. Like everyone knows when it's time for me to launch, we need to pull out the Hello Fresh. We need to call up the chef. I'm not cooking. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that there are things in this house that will run and run smoothly, because my focus has to be on this thing for this period of time. And I need everyone around me to support me in that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel like, you know, like everyone can take it to that extreme, and I understand that. But also, like, you got to understand, like, during this hyper focused time, like, you got to have the proper systems, you got to have the proper support set up and in place so that you can serve.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that you mentioned that you kind of get like your atmosphere, you know, in line with what you're doing, because that's one of the things I have to do with like my husband. Like, I let him know, hey, this week I'm going to be focused, I'm gonna be, you know, doing lives, I need to be like on my computer a lot more than normal. So like, can you handle dinner, or can you go pick up the baby? Like, can we have to work this so that this one week I can give like my full focus to launching and putting this thing out there. And then we can go back to being
to normal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Communication.
Yeah. And I feel like we don't ask for help. Like, I know, like, when I'm launching, I will ask my friends like, hey, I'm going into this launch, I'm not going to be in a group chat, could you just make sure I'm good? Like, could you just text me and say like, hey, I know you're launching, are you good? Like, you know, like, I feel like we get so into the weeds of like trying to follow this perfectly crafted and like doing all these things. But like, truthfully, all of that shit should have been done before you even open up the cart doors, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, you should be focused on serving at this point, not writing an email funnel. If you still write an email funnel, your cart probably should be closed, my love. Like, and so it's just like also understanding how all of these pieces work together. how you structure your life and your business to support it. Because if you don't find a rhythm, launching is always going to be hard for you. You are always going to struggle with building your audience. And it's because like you haven't done that proper, like foundational work.
Mm-hmm. I love that you say that. Cause like, this is what this show and my brand is about. Like, you need that solid foundation. You need that platform to be able to like build on. I think so many people, and a part of that is because of how a lot of things are marketed these days. It's like, you know, scale as fast as you can. And that could be a whole nother episode.
They didn't see me roll my eyes, but they went all the way around.
Like, I could go on like a whole soapbox about that, but not too many people are skipping those foundational steps so that, like you said, when they do get ready to launch, they're just having conversations. Like, it's natural. They're answering questions maybe, but it's not all this, oh God, now I got to do 10, 50, 11 million things during my launch week, you know?
Or now I have to go outside of my integrity and start cold DMing people because I didn't do the work. Yeah. And I do feel like that's the other part about it. It's like, when you don't do the work, you end up doing things that dishonor you. Like, you end up doing things that you don't believe in. You make it so much harder because you don't build the business or build your offer or build your launch in a way that is genuine to who you are inherently as a person. You know, like, if you know that you're not someone who, you know, wants to be on Zoom calls for 90 minutes, my love, why do you have a program where you on Zoom calls for 90 minutes every week? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And like, because now you're frustrated that once you sell this, now you got to do the work. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk about it because like, you subconsciously have a thing against this offer that like you haven't resolved because you built something that was out of alignment. Yep. And so again, it goes back to that foundation.
Mm-hmm. And I have been there a few years ago. That's the exact thing that led me to burnout, is because mm-hmm. I was so like in this space of like, oh, I got to hustle real hard, but I also have to do what all of like the marketing gurus mm-hmm. and big people who are telling me to scale are doing. Mm-hmm. And I was building a business that, like you said, did not even align with who I was. Like, I don't want to be on the phone that long. It's not for me.
I don't even believe in it. I don't need to talk to you every week because you're talking to me. Mm-hmm. So that way you don't have to do the work. And I want you to do the work because when we get on a call, I want to celebrate this something happening. Mm-hmm. I want to celebrate forward movement. Yeah. You can't move forward if you just waiting to get on a call with me so you could pick my brain. Yeah. Baby, I need you to do the action steps that I gave you 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. That's exactly why my program now, we do bi-weekly calls.
Same.
We need to be like, let's this little week in between, like, let's put in some work.
Let's go do some work.
Yes.
And then report back and tell me how the work went.
Yes. Yes. We can clean things up at that point, but like, do something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Girl, we can talk about that all day.
Man. Because I feel like we think oftentimes that like the foundation is like, I need to have a content marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. I need to have a lead magnet. I need to have a funnel. And it's like, before you can even get to that, there are some things that like you need to know about yourself, about your business, and have in place. Mm-hmm. And once you have these things in place, your launch is going to be so much easier because I don't even know if that's like grammatically correct, but anyway, your launch is going to be easier because it will be in alignment and you will be excited about the offer that you created. You're gonna be so excited that you can't stop talking about it. Yeah. Kind of like when we go to a new restaurant and we like have the best food of our life. I went to New Orleans recently and I had crawfish etouffee. I have talked about this crawfish etouffee maybe like 4 times a week since we got back, and that was like a month ago. But like, I can't stop talking about it because I was so excited, and that's how you should be about your offer. But you can't, because your launch, yes, it is a set of strategic steps and all of that, but really it's about building excitement and momentum and conversation and relationship around your offer. Mm-hmm. And if you're not excited about it, ain't nobody else gonna be excited about it.
Right. Because that energy that you have is what you're gonna put into it, right?
Listen. Mm-hmm. But this internet has just clouded a lot of us, like, to where we're building things and we're trying to launch things for the wrong reason. And that is one of the reasons that it feels like rocket science. That's one of the reasons that it feels like pulling teeth. And like, that's one of the reasons why you're not excited to do the work, because there are so many moving parts to doing a launch. So if you are not 100% committed to those steps, what's up?
Yeah. And I don't think people think about that once they, like, before they even get into it. It's like, oh, I'm gonna just follow these, you know, I'm gonna just do these things and it should be fine. But it's like, no, like, so much. And I try to tell my clients that, like, a lot goes into a launch, which means you need to be preparing months in advance. And listen, every time someone tells me I'm gonna launch next week, I'm like, no, you're not.
Not with me.
Not with me.
Maybe by yourself. But we got a 12 week head start around here. So you will be doing nothing for at least 2 weeks. I don't know what to tell you. Right. Like, and I do feel like that is like one of the hardest things that I've like one of the biggest mental barriers I've come up with my clients, because they think that like this launch is supposed to save their business. And that's not what it is. And you don't need to be launching if the only reason you are launching is to save your business. You need to be marketing. You need to be focusing on cash injection strategies and awareness and visibility. And you need to get those things in order before you launch, because launching is a marketing strategy. Yeah. It's not marketing. You know, like, it does not work on its own. It works in tandem with the other things. And you have to be, you have to know that and to understand that, because it don't matter how you feel about launching if you don't have an audience, if you don't have brand awareness, if you don't have visibility. I can give you all of the steps in the world and the launch will still fail, because the foundation ain't there.
So how would you suggest someone begin building kind of that brand awareness pre-launch? Because I think a lot of people too think it's just, I'm gonna just put some videos or something up on Instagram, I'm gonna do my reels.
So I feel like I always tell my clients that it's a mix of things, right? Like, it's telling your story, it's educating your ideal clients, it's making them problem aware, it's combating objections, but it's doing it in a way that is genuine to you. Like, I know when I really started taking off in my business, I used to always talk about my corporate work experience. And the reason for that is because I used to tell people, like, I am not one of these marketing coaches who watched a YouTube video and then popped up on the streets. Like, I have multiple degrees in this. I did this corporately for 10 years. These strategies that I'm bringing to y'all are strategies that we used in corporate America, but that strategies that entrepreneurs and solopreneurs don't know, because we only know what is available to us on Google and YouTube. So I started telling that story. I started asking questions about, like, what do you feel like your biggest struggle is with marketing? And then they would tell me, and then I would answer that question in my content. Like, I was providing value all of the time, giving them fast action strategies. Like, one of my core values is fast action. So I would say, like, if you're struggling with X, go and implement Y strategy. Come back and tell me how it worked.
Yeah.
And like, when you're in the comments and you're like, dang, I did what Brianka told me to do when I got this result, or I'm watching these people implement what Brianka is telling me to do and I'm getting this result. Now people who are not even engaging with me are building trust with me. So when they're ready, they're going to come from out of wherever rock they've been hiding and say, I've been following you, or I've been watching you for months, and now I want to work with you. And there isn't this like tug of war of like, let me, I'm just so good. Like, you, there isn't that. I'm not doing that. So like, I have to give you value. So if you're at the beginning and you're like, I know I want to launch in 3 months, or I know I want to launch in 6 months, you know, start answering the questions that your audience has, you know, start talking about your industry, start talking about your framework, how you do the things you do. What results have you gotten? Why is what you do so differently? One of the things that I introduce to my clients all the time is like, you are not the same as everybody else in your industry, but your audience does not know that. So like, you have to figure out what makes you different, and you got to lean fully into that without fear that you will be ridiculed, or without fear that someone is going to disagree with you. People will disagree with you. One of the things that we believe in and stand on firmly in my business is that webinars are whack. Period. Nobody wants to do that. And you can, and if you think that it is a good strategy for you, good for you. I hope that you are successful in it. It is not something that I believe in, and I have proof because the people who work with me often have less than 5,000 followers. Yeah. So these people are not jumping on today's webinar to watch nothing.
Yeah,
because they don't have an audience. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk about that back and forth side of it. So when I really started saying, like, I'm going to go full time, I started talking about the things that I thought were trash or that I didn't believe in or things that were contradictory to what I learned or what I did in my field of study, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we have these thoughts, like my clients get on the phone and run their mouth for hours about all of the stuff that they hate or dislike or that bothers them about their industry. But then you'll see that nowhere. And it's like, girl, if you don't go onto the internet and run your mouth in the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need you to keep that same energy. Mm-hmm. I need you to talk.
I was the same way for like a long time because I just feel like I'm like a recovering like people pleaser, but you know, mm-hmm. But
I want to we stay in therapy.
stay there. But one of the things I've noticed that once I've become like became more open with like sharing my opinion and being like, you don't have to scale, you know, fresh out the gate. Like once I started talking,
you don't have anything to scale.
You got nothing. But girl, I promise you, one day I'm going to record an episode where I'm just going to rant. Like I'm going to just go.
Yeah. Invite me. I'm gonna bring the wine and a popcorn and I'm gonna just be in the audience kicking.
Yes, maybe I'll do it like a live or something. We'll just sit here, we'll just go, everybody just go back and forth, like just ranting. But yeah, like once I started being more open with that, I felt like that's when my audience was like, you know what, I feel the same way, or you know, that really resonates with me, or like, yeah, I want to work with someone who believes in that. And that's just because I literally started taking stuff that's been sitting in my head for, I've been coaching 7 years, and put that out there. And they were like, oh, like, okay, that is how you're different from everybody else. And it's like, you have to be able to be comfortable with stepping on a few toes. And you can do that in a way that's not disrespectful, but
you know. And the thing is, I do, as also a former people pleaser, mm-hmm. luckily, gratefully, I was delivered from that when I was delivered from corporate America. Amen. But I think you also have to understand that everybody ain't assigned to you. Like,
ooh, that's good.
And that's okay. Because you're not doing it for everybody. You're not building an offer. You're not building a business. You're not sharing a message for every single person on the internet. You are doing it for the people who are assigned to you. So every time you fail to keep it a buck with your audience about what you really believe in, what you really stand on, why you really built this business, what your core values are, what you're going to tolerate, what you're not going to tolerate, what your boundaries are. Every time you fail to do that, you fail to create a relationship with your audience, a genuine and authentic one. But furthermore, you fail to serve.
Yep.
You can't launch nothing. You can't make no money, have no impact, have no income, nothing mm-hmm. if you're not of service. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just sharing your story, sharing your truth is the best way to serve. It's the best way to build connection. It's the best way to even set your business up for a launch.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are like, well, I want to look professional. Like that's you. Like that's who you are, you know? Like, why are you trying to cover up who you are trying to, again, like you just said, please people who may not even be meant for you to be pleasing.
Listen, because then the thing is like, right, when we talk about ideal clients and we talk about attracting people who we want to serve, you are going to attract who you are. So if you showing up fake, you're going to attract clients who are not in alignment, who are going to stress you out, who are going to ignore your boundaries, who are going to frustrate you. Mm-hmm. And you can avoid that by being honest about what it is that you believe in. Mm-hmm. Like, it can do no harm to you to be honest. And also think about like who it is that you want. If you are going to do this business, if this is not a pop-up business, if this is going to be the thing that changes the trajectory of your life and generations after you, how do you want it to be built? You know, do you want it to be built genuinely and authentically to who you are? Or do you want it to be built as a facade?
Ooh. Ooh. Mm. That'll preach right there.
Like, I got questions.
Because how is that sustainable?
It's not.
How do you keep that up? Like, I can imagine how miserable I would feel showing up every day as somebody that I'm not.
Right? You're not. And the thing is, and what's out, there's always this disconnect with my audience, because a lot of the women who work with me are women who are coming from corporate America. Mm-hmm. And they connect with me because I talk a lot about my corporate experience. You know, I talk about how when I was in corporate, I whitewashed my name to Brie because I didn't want my resume to be disregarded because my name is Brianka. Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about, like, even those stories of, like, pulling that out and bringing that out for myself. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I always tell my clients is, like, when you're first figuring out your voice and you're first figuring out how you talk about things, don't type it out, talk it out. Yeah. Open up a Zoom and just talk about the things that you want to say. You know, instead of you writing out your captions, do a voice note, you know, talk like you would talk to your friend or to your homegirl. And it don't mean that you got to curse. It don't mean you got to use slang. It don't mean you got to use colloquialisms or any of that. But how would you really genuinely say it? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was one of the biggest barriers for me, was like when I was first trying to promote my business, I would not curse. I would not use slang. I would pop up on the internet and I would be like, hello, my name is Brianka. I'm so, and like my audience could not connect with me because you knew it was fake, because then on Fridays and Saturdays, you watching my stories and I'm out rapping the whole verse to Dreams and Nightmares. And you like, this is a disconnect, sis. Like, who are you? So you got to figure out. You got to figure out who you are, especially because so many people are building personal brands. Mm-hmm. It has to be genuine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As I think one of the pieces of like how I'm doing business is showing people what the not so pretty side of entrepreneurship is looking like. So like talking more about how I deal with anxiety and how some weeks it puts me down, but you know what? I'm gonna be back up next week though. So like, talking more about that. And I was so nervous to do that at first, but I have been like mind blown with like the amount of people who have just been like, girl, I feel you. And I thought that I couldn't do this because, you know, I've struggled with, you know, depression or anxiety in the past. So it's like that personal storytelling, like showing who you are, it really is like the thread of the brand that you're building. If you can get people to trust you, you can get them to pay you. Like, it's a seamless process.
Because all of us are looking for a mirror. Mm-hmm. All of us are looking to see, dang, this person was in my shoes, or this person understands me, or this person went through exactly what I went through. But how can they make that connection with you if they don't know what you believe in, if they don't know what you've been through? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like, we are so stale. Mm-hmm. In our marketing, like, we are just like, yes, go buy this offer, it's $497, you'll get two Zoom calls and you're gonna get a workbook, it's gonna be great.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the offer,
right?
What's the transformation? Why does this offer solve a problem for me? What is the problem that I'm having? What can I expect to feel like or think or be changed in my life or business once I complete this offer with you? Like, there, we are missing this like relationship, kind of like, it's like we got on the internet and we forgot how to interact with people.
Yeah,
like if you met somebody on the street, you wouldn't just walk up to them and say, hey Alicia, buy my offer, it's great.
No, I'm great. Yes, and no, nothing.
No. You're not gonna do that,
right? Like,
you're going to build a relationship. You're going to nurture them. You're going to introduce yourself. You're going to tell your story. You're going to talk about what you're passionate about. You're going to talk about why you're passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to follow up. You're going to say, hey, Alicia, I know we, you know, met at that networking event last week. I just wanted to follow up and give you, you know, a little bit more information about me. I would love to hear from you. Like, you're going to build a rapport. You got to do the same thing with your audience.
Yeah. Yes, yes. I always say, like you just mentioned, like if somebody were to meet you on the street, you should be the exact same person. Like, I shouldn't be like,
you were so cool.
Yeah, I liked you.
Not no more.
More. Uh-uh. Yeah, like that's. I'm glad you like went into depth with that, because that is like, I feel like a vital piece that so many people are missing out on. It's like, that humanization of your brand. You're still a human. I don't care how much money you make, how well you market, how many clients you have, like, you are still a human, you know, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like one of the biggest mistakes that like we make when it comes to like our launch strategy. I mean, on top of the fact that like too many of y'all be launching without lead magnets or, you know, welcome email sequences or segmenting and targeting. Y'all be out here sending emails. Y'all know who opened the email, who did it, who clicked on it, who like it. I mean, all of that is just real ghetto. But I do think that the number one mistake that we make, like when we're launching, is that we forget to be human. Mm-hmm. Like we're sending out all of these emails, but then like people are asking us questions about the offer. We're not replying to the comments. You know, they in our DMs, they watching every story, they commenting. Y'all be out here asking people to put answers and question stickers and then never replying to the answer. Baby, it don't make sense.
Don't waste them people's time.
Stop wasting your time.
That's the part of like engagement that people, and we could probably talk about that for a while. Like engagement is two-sided. It's not just talk to me, but I never say anything back to you.
No, it should be a conversation. Like, and I think that when we start thinking about our marketing as a conversation, you will find that it does better. Mm-hmm. Like you'll find that it's easier, mm-hmm. that you have more fun and that your audience connects with you. Like too many people want to be so cool on this internet. Y'all want to be Beyonce and you got 200 followers and it don't make sense. The math don't math, sis. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have enough money to be this cool on the internet. I need you to talk to people. Like, and also like, I do think that this trend of like, I don't follow people back, I don't reply to my comments, I think it's lame.
Yeah.
Like, why do I want to buy into you? And I can't, the only time I talk to you is after I pay you. I don't even know you.
Right. Right. If you're not willing to support people and be there or be helpful to people prior to them paying for you, then it's not going to work out like you think.
No. And I say this as someone, I do not do discovery calls. I'm not getting on a discovery call with you for no reason at all, ever. However, I live in my DMs.
Yeah.
And like the girls will tell you, if you send me a DM, I will reply. I will send you a voice note. I will do, like, I will have the conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, there are boundaries to my service, but I am always of service.
Yeah.
And that is how you build the relationship. Y'all want to make money before you want to build relationships. And that is not a sustainable long-term strategy for building a business.
Mm-hmm.
Hey y'all. So I don't mean to break up this amazing conversation, but I have to ask, have you downloaded my free guide yet? Well, if you haven't, the Purpose to Service Method is the free guide that you need to download right now. Because in this guide, I walk you through my 6-step framework for building a sustainable, intentional, and profitable coaching-based business. So I walk you through all of my essential steps of building your foundation, creating your signature framework, nurturing your clients, packaging up your knowledge, launching your offer, and then also managing and maintaining your clients afterwards. So I give you all types of action steps that you can implement into your business right now. And I also cover how to avoid a lot of the common mistakes that I see happen to a lot of coaches and online service providers as they are growing and scaling their business. So if you haven't already, download the Purpose to Service Method. Again, it is going to walk you through the essentials of building a sustainable, intentional, and profitable coaching business. So all you have to do is head over to aliciarobertson.com/roadmap or just click the link down in my bio and you can get all access to it right now. All right, get back to the conversation.
And that's because so many people have sold the lifestyle of entrepreneurship, but hasn't sold
the... It's the lifestyle, all that though.
I've been doing this for so long. I'm like, no, this is ghetto, like you said.
Living in the projects over here. Like, what are we talking about? When I was in corporate champ, actually, I do think that my entrepreneurial life is a little bit better than my corporate experience because I worked in like national nonprofits and political campaigns, and you never stop working in those roles, especially like in digital. Baby, somebody sent a tweet at 2 o'clock in the morning, you up at 2 o'clock in the morning working. So from that perspective, my entrepreneurial life is better. I do have more control and more freedom, but also I have more responsibility. The things are on Brianka. I don't have a boss.
Like, you are responsible for all the things. Not just one thing.
All of them. Listen, so when the girls be like, well, I didn't have time to post today. I don't know how. Like, your impact, your income, your business, your clients, all of that is reliant on whether or not you show up. Your priority should be to show up.
That's it. Like, just show up and keep showing up. I think because we live in such a microwavable like society, everybody wants immediate 10K months second day. And it's like, it's going to be a long little period where you feel like you're just talking to yourself a lot of times.
Listen, and don't be transitioning your audience, because I've been doing this, I guess this is like my first year full time, but I've had my business as like a side hustle since 2014. And like the transition that we've had to do over the last year means that like now I'm back at a point where I'm talking to myself, because now my audience is different. But you have to be prepared, you know, for those stints, and you have to be grounded and rooted to know like I'm gonna show up for myself no matter what. Like, if I can't bet on anybody else, if I can't bet on the Instagram algorithm, if I can't bet on whether or not ConvertKit gonna actually put my email in the inbox, I can bet that I'm gonna show up consistently and do the work. Because if you can't even show up consistently and do the work when you're not launching, you ain't gonna do it when it's go time.
Not when the spotlight on you.
Listen, and them launches be 2 and 4 weeks, and you posting every day, going live, sending emails in your DMs, in your comments, in your text messages, because some of y'all ain't got boundaries, you know?
It's a lot. It's a lot. What would you say are like, because I know that you, there are plenty of different ways to launch. Some people do very quiet launches. Some people do very elaborative launches. What would you say are some of like the essentials that like someone absolutely has to do during like their actual launch period? Like, they don't do nothing else, do this.
If you're not gonna do anything else, announce that you have an offer that is for sale.
Most importantly,
please. You know, but I also think that even before you open your doors, it's important to show the thing that you are launching or building. It's important to talk about what is coming, why you created it, what the trend. Like, I always go back to like this storytelling, this messaging, this talking about it, because if no one knows about it, they're not going to buy into it. So even before you open the doors, it's important, right, that you are bringing your audience into the fold of what this offer is going to be or what it looks like. And I say that like very loosely, because I also want to make it clear that like you don't have to create a new offer to launch. You can launch the same offer over and over and over again. And a lot of y'all got 10 offers, but you ain't known for the first one. And so we should be going back to the drawing table. But bring them into the offer that you are creating. Make them feel like they are a part of that process. Even if you're relaunching the offer, right? Like, show them what improvements you've made to it. Talk about the case studies or the testimonials that you had in a previous cohort. You know, talk about the things that you felt like you could have done better. I always am in my accelerator talking about, okay, so round two, we did this. I ain't really like it. So this is how we fixed it. And people don't realize that that's a marketing strategy, but like my audience is consistently seeing me improve this program time and time and time and time and time again. I'm now being known for this one thing because I have talked about it consistently for the last 8 months. So it's like, bring your audience into that. Don't like leave them out and then wait for the doors to be open to say, you know, but then also as you are showing them behind the scenes and bringing them into the offer, keep a list of who is interested so you can send them the details when the doors open. We be starting from scratch with cold audiences, yeah. And there are 20 people in our DMs who are waiting for us at the door. Yeah. You know, like if you're sending emails out to your list and you realize, all right, I'm sending emails, the same four people keep clicking this link, but they're not moving forward. Send them a message on Instagram like, hey, Alicia, I saw that I sent you an email about this offer the last couple of times and you've clicked the link, but you haven't moved forward. Is there a reason? Like, do you have any questions that I can answer for you? You know, is there something holding you back? I would love to talk to you about it. Like, build that relationship with that person so that way they don't feel like, all right, I think it's for me, but I don't know. So I'ma just hit. Don't give them that opportunity to figure it out on their own if you can serve them.
Yeah.
You know, show up and serve them from the beginning.
Yeah. One of the things that I did, I'm glad you mentioned that. I hosted like a paid workshop a few weeks back, and I noticed that there were about 10 people on my wait list who hadn't like signed up. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just send them all like a quick video. So like I used Bonjouro and sent them like a quick, like literally 1 minute personalized video, and like 6 out of those 10 people ended up signing up. They were like, oh, thank you for reminding me. Like, I just forgot, or I meant to do it and I didn't completely check out. Like, you're probably leaving money on the table by being too afraid to follow up.
You don't even know it.
Yeah.
And like, don't feel like you're being pesky, right? Like, don't feel like you're being annoying, you know? Because it ain't like you got to be in the inbox like, you said you was going to sign up, but you didn't. Like, you don't have to do that, but you can go and like, just see like, is there any question that I can answer for you? Is there anything that I can do for you? Is there any information that you're waiting on or that I haven't provided? Is there anything that I could, that I can or could have done better to make this decision easier for you? Mm-hmm. And when you get into thinking about it from, because a lot of times them not moving forward ain't even about you. It's about them.
Yeah.
And when we get into that understanding, then we can show up better. So I do feel like also having like, follow-up time scheduled on your Google calendar is necessary.
Yeah.
Like the fortune is always going to be in the follow-up. Do not take it for granted that you're just going to remember to follow up. If you've never done it before, you ain't going to remember now. So block that time off.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I think when we think about like launching, it's like, I don't want to pressure them too much. I don't want to get on their nerves, but I'm like, if you don't get on their nerves any other time, this is the time for you to be like, remember me? Like,
listen, this is your carte blanche to get on their nerve. And I think also like people be so upset because they'd be like, oh my God, they unsubscribe from my list. Bye.
Because ConvertKit is expensive.
See you later. Thanks for having me. We sell in the emails over here.
Yeah.
I will talk to you for free on Instagram. Bye. Like, we cannot be bothered by people who unsubscribe. Those are not the people who are ever going to purchase from you. You have to tell them goodbye with love and move on.
So you talked about like having an audience, and it just reminded me of this. Do you feel like, so I run into like one of the like mindset blocks a lot of my clients have before they launch their offer. It's like, oh, I feel like I have to have 1,000 subscribers, or I feel like I have to have 1,000 people on Instagram. Like, I'm pretty sure you do, but you prioritize relationships over large numbers, right?
I do.
Okay. Yes.
Because you can have 10,000 followers of people who won't purchase from you. And we have all seen it happen. Okay. So it's not about the quantity of your audience. It's about the quality. Like, it is better to have 2,000 followers who engage with you, who purchase from you, who revere you as an expert, who refer you, who shout you out, than to have 20,000 followers of people who don't pay you no attention. Right. And a lot, and too many of us be falling into this trap where we be buying followers and then not making no money. So now it look goofy because you got 20,000 followers on Instagram and you getting 5 likes on a post, and all that does is provide it like makes you uncredible. Like, yeah. Now you're not trusted.
Yeah.
Because it looks like you did what you did.
Mm-hmm.
When honestly, you could have invested that time, that money, that energy into really building a genuine audience, because that's always going to be more valuable than the ones that you paid for.
Yeah. Facts. And like, I always think about, I think she was like a influencer like a year or two ago who like couldn't sell like
the t-shirts.
I always think about that, and she had like hundreds of thousand followers I think on Instagram, and it's like you couldn't sell 30 t-shirts.
No,
I always think about that
because you bought them, and because you didn't build a relationship and a rapport with them. Mm-hmm. So it don't even look good.
Yeah.
And I know I know that it cannot feel good to you, because also like it just feels better when you build your audience organically and you know that they really there for you. They really showing up for you.
Yeah, exactly. And you can have 50 solid people who be ride or die for you over 10,000 people who could care less.
Listen, because it happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Yeah.
And I feel like we'd be worried about the wrong thing.
Yeah.
We'd be worried about the wrong thing. Like, mm-hmm. when it comes down to it, you want to make sure that the people who are in your audience are people who have a connection with you, are people who trust you, are people who see you as the expert that you are people who are going to buy from you when the time comes. You don't want to just have a lot of people just to say you have a lot of people. You want to have a lot of people who gonna pull out their debit card and pay the invoice on time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that like launches are some experimental, like 50% experimental, maybe, you know, 50% like strategy. So like not all launches are going to be like your big $1 million launch. And what I've noticed with like people who either don't hit their goals in their launch, or they in their mind, their launches fail, they want to give up. They're like, I'm not doing this no more. Like, I'm over it. What advice can you give someone whose launch in the past may or may not have gone as well as they hoped? And like, what can they do to make sure that the next time around they actually see better results?
Yeah, so I think that the first thing that you have to do is like qualify what failure looks like for you. And I'll give you an example. I've launched Clarity to Coins 3 times. Two of the 3 times I didn't hit my goal. Mm-hmm. But all 3 times I doubled my previous launch.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, because I am a hypercritical, overanalyzing, controlling person, I'm like, well, I didn't hit my goal, so... you know, it's a dub. But do you like it? You know how ridiculous it is to say, well, I didn't hit my goal, but I made $60,000, but I failed. What?
I was just literally listening to a podcast the other day where the girl was like, it wasn't my 6-figure launch. And like, she was talking about how upset she was about it. And like, okay, on like one hand, I get it. That was your goal, and like that's what you had your eyes towards. But she was like, I only made $50,000. And I'm like, only? That's more than what most people make in a year. Like, only. Like, I was offended.
It's ridiculous, right? So I do think that we have to qualify what failure looks like. And I think that a part of that is making sure that our goals are attainable. One of the things that I tell my students all the time is like, they tell me their goal. They'd be like, yeah, I want 10 people in my program. And I'd be like, bet, that's a really nice goal, but we finna go for these targets.
Yeah.
So the minimum number that we're looking for is between 6 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
The highest number we're looking for is between 12 and 14, mm-hmm. because that gives us a range. Because I need you to understand that like, If you hit the 10 people, then bet we did exactly we did exactly what you wanted to do. But that does not mean that's not indicative that we did all we could do. Because if you could get 10, you can get 14.
Yeah.
And the difference between them 4 people is what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't hit your goal, then what was the difference between what you got and what you wanted? You know, what did that effort look like? Where did your audience fall short? Where were they falling off? I think that a lot of times when we think about our launch and we think about failing, we don't realize that like the best lessons come in what could have gone differently or what could have gone better. So instead of looking at this launch as a failure, look at it as market research. Yeah. Bet I sent out this number of emails. My open rate was this. My click-through rate was this. At the beginning of the launch, my open rate was higher. But as I went on further, my open rate was lower. So maybe I need to shorten the amount of time that I have the open cart open. Mm-hmm. You know, or I sent this email and I got 10 subscribers, but when I sent this email, I got 10 unsubscribes. So maybe that means that this messaging is on target and this messaging ain't. And then take that and optimize your second launch. You don't quit. You take the data, you analyze it, and then you make it more efficient and more optimum for your second launch so you can hit the goal.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we come out the gate thinking, well, I said I was going to get 10 people. I'm going to get 10 people. And if I don't get 10 people, I'm not doing it again. Yeah. And I just think that that's naive. Mm-hmm. Like you are not an expert until you do something 10,000 times. So for 10,000 hours. So mm-hmm. I don't care what you are an expert in. If this is your first time launching, it's kind of like the first pancake. Yeah. It might be good. It might not.
Yeah. But you don't know until you try it.
But we don't know. That's why when people be coming to me like, yeah, this is my first launch. I want to enroll 50 people. What data do you have that supports you can even bring 50 people to the launch event?
Mm-hmm.
Like part of it also in this like failure is unreasonable expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking on way too much and expecting way too much. Yeah.
Listen, and too many people be having programs and they be like, I want 50 people in a program and the onboarding experience whack. So
yeah. Can't even handle 50 people.
Do you have the infrastructure, sis? Let's talk about it. You know, like you want 50 people in your program, but you can't even respond to the 10 DMs that's been sitting there for 3 days. We got a deeper conversation that needs to be had.
Mm-hmm.
We got some work that we need to do foundationally. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that foundational work comes from your first launch or your first two launches where you're learning your audience. Like you shouldn't even be looking at your first launch as the end all be all to your business. You should be looking at it as a learning experience, as market research, mm-hmm. as the things like, obviously you want to make money, you want to hit goals, but also you want to collect information so that way you know how to do this better time and time again in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people skip over that part because, again, everybody wants to hit this big number and be seen as this big expert. And it's like, that's not even like what you should be focusing on right now. But I love that you also mentioned that you want this big number, but you can't actually maintain or onboard this many people because it's like, it's okay at the very beginning of launching an offer to have 5 solid people because you know what? Those are 5 solid people. You only have to worry about managing and tweaking and testing out. And you don't want to look crazy in front of 50, 60 people.
No. And also there is a big difference. When I first launched Clarity to Coins, there were 5 people in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Easy, breezy, mm-hmm. beautiful, cover girl, 5. We was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Second time I launched it, there were 8 of us. A little bit more challenging, but mm-hmm. still easy. Right now, 16. The difference between 5 and 16, a lot.
Yeah.
And what I learned with these 16 is that there will never be more than 25 people in my program ever.
Mm-hmm.
So get in while you fit in, because once we get to 25, it's a dub.
Yeah.
Like, and I had to figure that out for myself because sometimes it's not even about infrastructure. Like you can have all the automation, you can have all the systems, you can have all the things in place to provide support and service to your clients. But do you have the capacity mentally to serve all these people?
That's a lot of people for one person, especially if you're not naturally like that. Yeah.
No. And can you show up for them in integrity, right? Mm-hmm. Like if they sending you emails, if they in your community, if they got questions, can you show up?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is no, then maybe the goal ain't realistic. It was not realistic to begin with.
Right. Right. I'm glad you mentioned that. Like, and I hope those who are listening or watching this, like, that puts a lot into perspective with a lot of what we see online. And like, I love that people are talking about, you know, their big launches and things like that. Like, I love that because it shows people, oh, I can do this too. But I think also in a way it makes those who are just starting out or those who want a smaller capacity almost feel like, oh, well, if they got 30, 40 people in their group and I only got 6 in mine, like, what's wrong with me? But like, that's
nothing.
That's nothing. Yeah, that's just their capacity. Like, that's what they can do.
So I think that, like, again, all of this goes back to like who you are inherently and like who you are foundationally and really understanding and assessing, you know, how you want your business to be built and how launching will help you achieve that goal. A lot of times we think about it the wrong way. We think that launching is like, that launching is the goal of our business.
Yeah.
And it's not. Yeah. Launching is a tool. It's a strategy that we're using to hit our goals. Mm-hmm. So like, you can't put everything on this launch, you know, like, and I think that we have talked about this so wrong because we glorify, you know, these big launches and we glorify, you know, these big program enrollments and things like that. But you can make money without launching. I got a client now who ain't did not nan nary launch event and hit 5 figures every month. Mm-hmm. And like, we had to have that conversation. Like, girl, we done did this launch twice. You still don't like it. You don't like launching. That's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. You don't need it.
Please stop.
Yeah. Stressing yourself out.
Stressing the both of us out. You know, so instead we built her a funnel. Mm-hmm. On the back end of her business, we built her a funnel. And now she can just do what she is good at. You know, she can build a relationship with her audience. She can share content and drive them to the funnel.
Yep. And still make her money.
And still make her money. Mm.
It probably with less stress too. She don't need all that.
You don't need all that. Like, you don't even like it. And that's the other thing. Like, too many, a lot of times, like, you're trying to launch to keep up with the Joneses. You see so-and-so launching, so let me go ahead and launch. You see so-and-so with a new program, let me build a program. And it's just like, mind your business.
Yeah.
Mind the business that pays you. Yeah. What do you actually want to do? What are you qualified to do? Mm-hmm. How do you best serve? How do you best show up? And that honestly may mean that you're not on Instagram. It may mean one of my clients is on LinkedIn. And she's like, girl, I ain't fooling with Instagram. And I said, make your money how the money, you know, comes to you. I don't care. All I know is that you need to have a platform that you are using consistently. Mm-hmm. Tell me what the platform is. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's also a lot about that. It's just like making sure that the other things that you have in place are set up to support this launch or support this goal in a way that doesn't feel like rocket science or like pulling your teeth.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like the only piece where I'm telling my clients to like, please stay in your lane is when it comes to like figuring out what they want. Like, you worry about you and like figure out what success looks like, figure out what your goals look like, and literally stay in your lane. Do not look left. Do not look right.
Listen, because the number of people who be out here, like, I'm a marketing coach, but be providing business coaching advice because you're unclear.
Yeah.
Like, if your expertise is in this thing, don't allow your clients to pull you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in the thing that you are a genius at. Mm-hmm. Today on a call, one of my clients was like, well, can you tell me, you know, if my Instagram feed is visually appealing? And I was like, I don't like it. I don't think it's cute, you know? Yeah. And she was like, well, how can I fix it? I don't know, baby. I'm not a visual brand designer. Like, I can put you in contact with graphic designers. That's their entire job, is to make sure it look nice and cohesive and all the things. I can tell you that I don't like it, but I can't tell you how to fix it because that's not my lane.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you the structure of how to write an email, but I can't tell you if it's grammatically correct because I ain't a copywriter.
Right.
Right. There's all type of slang up in my emails.
Oh Facts. Stay in your lane and like do what you're good at. Like so many people are like good at what they do, but then they try to like veer off and do other stuff.
But the thing is, it's like if you focus on a thing that only you can do and become known for that thing, your business is going to grow exponentially and easy. It's going to be easy.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like a hug.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More alignment is what everyone needs. I feel like we could keep this conversation going for whatever, but I'm going to be mindful of your time. I have one more question I wanted to ask you, and it's one that I ask everybody here on the show, and that is, what does living on purpose mean to you?
For me, it means listening to my gut. I'm very intentional about the life that I build, what that life looks like, what serves me, what doesn't serve me, and even how I feel about things. And I listen to that feeling in my gut all the time. Like, it's one of the reasons I moved across the country in 11 days. It's one of the reasons I quit my job in the middle of a global pandemic, or, you know, why I ended up changing my name. Like, all of those things came from this instinct in my gut to do what felt inherent to me. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about living on purpose, I think about, how do I make these things, these structures, this business, this, my relationships, my friendships, how do I make them all serve me in a way that allows me to serve others? Yeah. And how am I intentional about that? How am I trusting my decision-making skills? How am I trusting my communication skills? How am I creating boundaries? How am I making sure that, like, I'm not only well, but that the things, my faith, my family, my finances, my fitness, how do I make sure that all of that is in alignment for me, so that way I can do what I'm called to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm going to have to use that as a clip. We're gonna Brianna, can you just share with everybody where they can keep up with you, where they can find you and learn more about your services?
Of course. So I am everywhere on Instagram at the Brianna Johnson. And Brianna is B-R-I-A-N-C-A. My website is also briannakajohnson.com. I live in my DM, so you can always reach me there. And if you listen to this episode and you loved it, send me a DM. I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Before you go, I'd love to know what your biggest takeaway was from this episode. Take a screenshot and share it with me over on Instagram at @TheAlishaNicole. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please head over to your favorite podcast streaming app and rate the show and leave a review. The more great ratings and reviews we receive, the more incredible women we are able to impact with our message. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the Purpose to Service podcast.